WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, November 8th. That's right, you know what that means. It is Election Day. I trust that all of you out there are hitting the polls as we speak. If you've already done so, congratulations. I know there are redonkulous lines all throughout various precincts here in mid-Michigan. But hey, make sure you exercise your right to vote, arguably our most important right as Americans, all right? Going to be a crazy day here in Studio S as Current State will be doing drop-ins with election coverage throughout the night. So here in Studio S, it's been a bit transformed. Those who are watching via our live stream right now can see that we have a printer in studio. We've got a WKAR table flanked to the back. We've even got CNN on a flat LCD screen up in here. So it's pretty hot right now, folks. Keeping it moving here, we have a great show in store for all of you out there. We will have coverage from the Mark D'Antonio press conference. I was there at Spartan Stadium, and Mark D'Antonio had some interesting things to say, recapping the 7-game losing streak. The team is currently on the longest losing streak that the team has embarked on in quite some time. You get to hear what Coach Mark D'Antonio had to say. Also, later on in the hour, we will chat about an interesting topic, all right? The Detroit Pistons got blown out against the LA Clippers on the road, just really laid an egg in that game. The Detroit Red Wings trying to just come back from a 5-game losing streak. What is wrong with the Wings and what went wrong for the Pistons last night? We will also invite our dear friend Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer, for today's U Sports. That and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this show. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with our headliners. Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh was able to talk a little football with President Obama during his campaign for Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton in Ann Arbor. Harbaugh told Obama that U of M will keep pushing despite the 9-0 record that he, of course, and he appreciated the president's appearance in Ann Arbor, I should say. Now, Harbaugh also stated that his son, James, a sophomore at U of M, waited in line on Sunday to get a ticket and arrived at 5:30 a.m. to be in the crowd. Pretty cool scene to see Jim Harbaugh in the stands as Barack Obama visited Ann Arbor yesterday. All right, football fans can watch Michigan State take on Rutgers at Spartan Stadium this Saturday. Get this. For less than a ticket to the movies. Ticket prices are that low, folks. Fans can pick up a ticket for as low as $6 currently on StubHub. And these are not just nosebleed seats. As of Monday morning, dozens of upper and lower bowl seating were available for $6 to $10 a person. We will discuss that. And again, you'll get to hear from Coach D. He may have a message to the fans out there as well. You don't want to miss that. Detroit Mercy will start the regular season Friday against Adrian after suffering its second exhibition loss to a Division II school. Ferris State handled the Titans an 85-79 loss last night at Callahan Hall. Wayne State also defeated the Titans by the same score. Senior Chris Jenkins was out with a concussion, but UDM struggled on defense and offense the entire game. The Titans only shot 37% from the field. And, of course, former U of M assistant coach Bakari Alexander is the head coach at Detroit Mercy now. Really rooting for him, though. A really strong squad for that team, missing a few key pieces. Several University of Wisconsin athletes used their Twitter accounts to post a statement demanding change in racial inequalities on campus. The message was followed due to an incident in which two people were involved with a Halloween costume that depicted President Barack Obama in a noose at a home game, home football game, I should say, on October 29th. Now, more than 20 Wisconsin football players shared the statement along with basketball star Nigel Hayes. The statement noted that black athletes, quote, are loved during competition, but then subjected to racial discrimination in our everyday lives as well, end quote. The Detroit Pistons were completely embarrassed by the LA Clippers 114-82 last night at the Staples Center. Andre Drummond tallied up another double-double, but the Clips were unguardable inside and out. The Clips now off to the best start in the franchise's history at 6-1, hit a season-high 13 three-pointers against the Pistons. Chris Paul scored 24 to go with 8 assists while going 5-for-5 from three-point range. The Pistons have yet to win a game on the road and will play the Phoenix Suns at 9 p.m. on Wednesday for game 2 of their 4-game road trip. Josh Koleminter, former CMU and Homer High pitcher, has signed a 1-year contract with the Atlanta Braves. Koleminter joined the Braves in September after a trade from the Chicago Cubs organization and went 2-0 with a 2.37 ERA in 3 starts. The veteran right-hander will get a guaranteed base salary of $1.2 million, with another $1.2 million possible for a specific number of starts or relief appearances. The Detroit Red Wings, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, will try to stop a 5-game losing streak as they head to Philadelphia tonight to take on the Flyers. Puck drop at 7 p.m. And as I stated last week when the Red Wings went on the road against Philly, get this, the Wings have not beaten the Flyers on the road since 1997. Let that sink in for a minute, all right? And last, but certainly not least, the Detroit Tigers have 2 award finalists. As announced by the Baseball Writers Association of America this evening, well, I should say yesterday evening, I should say, right-handed starting pitchers Justin Verlander and Michael Fulmer are up for the American League Cy Young Award and American League Rookie of the Year Award, respectively. Now, it is Verlander's 4th time as an AL Cy Young finalist. He won the award in 2011, finished 2nd in 2012, and 3rd in 2009. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in if you want to share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. So much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show.
Got 9 turnovers right now. There are games, years where we've had 23, 25, that type of thing. Now, we're not turning the ball over a lot, but which is a good thing, but where are the turnovers at? They got to come up, and there's opportunities. Missed 3 interceptions on Saturday. So those type of things have to occur. You know, there's some structural things as well, but it's all inclusive, as I said. Structural things are coaching things.
And that is how we start this afternoon's current sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Happy Election Day. We've got a jam-packed show in store for you all. What you just heard was, of course, the voice of the head coach of the MSU football team, Mark D'Antonio. We went in depth as to where this team sits at right now. 2-7 on the year, 0-6 in Big Ten conference play. Mark D'Antonio going through just really This is the toughest part that he's had to deal with throughout his entire tenure, throughout his 10 years as the head coach of this program. I mean, 7 straight losses. I mean, that's an historic number right there, folks. This team is 0-6 for the first time in conference play since they entered the Big Ten Conference back in 1953. Historic lows, and they will take on a program that record-wise is just as bad. 2-7, 0-6 in the Big Ten for Rutgers as well. Michigan State returning home to Spartan Stadium. That will be a noon kickoff at Spartan Stadium. And, folks, we are seeing record lows for this team right now, not just in the win and loss column, but also when it comes to the pocketbook. I couldn't believe it when I was on Facebook yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I was scrolling through, and I saw an article that was posted on the Michigan State and Rutgers game and how you can get tickets for dirt cheap prices at a low. Right now, fans can pick up a ticket. If you want to head to that Michigan State and Rutgers game this weekend, you can pick up a ticket for as low as $6 on StubHub. I kid you not. And as Luke put in our Quick Hit headliners, I mean, these are not just nosebleed seats. We're not talking about upper deck, back row. I mean, some of these seats are in the lower bowl, in the back maybe, but in the lower bowl where you can enjoy the MSU football game and have a pretty good vantage point. So I just never thought we'd see this program here, and I'm pretty sure many of you out there never thought we'd see that. And I've stated multiple times in these past 7 weeks as we've watched Mark D'Antonio address the podium and talk to the media, Mark D'Antonio is holding up as best as you can think a man will be holding up at this point in the year going through what he's gone through. And then some. I think he's handled it well, to be honest with you. And, you know, what more can you do? What more can you do? I mean, it blows my mind. I mean, you can go and see a movie right now for a cheaper price. Well, I should say, a cheaper price than actually going to an MSU football game. And they're kind of around the same price right now. I mean, like, you know, when I go check out a movie, it's around like $8. You know what I mean? I mean, you can go to an MSU football game for $6. So I should say you could go to an MSU football game cheaper than going to the movies. It's crazy right now. So Mark D'Antonio, he fielded questions from many media members, you know, sort of, you know, trying to put in perspective just how do you move on right now, right? It's tough because all the goals that you had are out the window now. Back-to-back, that's out the window. You're not going to win a Big Ten championship this year. You're not going to go to a bowl game. So what do you play for, right? And how do you rally your troops? You know, how do you keep the morale up? Well, in desperate times like this, I mean, you try to think outside the box, I should say. And Mark D'Antonio thought outside the box this week in trying to prepare his team. And he decided to approach it in a different way. Here's what he had to say.
And then sort of had a town hall meeting with each position group just to sort of get things on the table, just to make sure there's open lines of communication, just to make sure that we can identify the problems. And when I asked our football team, okay, I think most people know the problems. I'm sure whoever becomes president of the United States today knows the problems. But we got to find the solutions. And I think that's where we have to continue to move forward. So,
yeah, a town hall meeting, folks. He had a town hall meeting with position players to try and see where their head is right now, to see how can they alleviate the same problems we've seen that have led to a 2-7 year. And how many times have we seen that in the world of sports, right? I mean, when things are going awry, when things are in total disarray, how many times have we seen or heard of teams having in-house meetings, you know, having lemon squeeze sessions where they get everything out on the table and try and really evaluate the problem and get to the root of what is going wrong? Mark D'Antonio is just trying to find a way to solve the problem. Here he is once again.
I'm just trying to problem solve the best I can, and you know, I don't want to ever walk in there and blame one particular player for a problem. I don't think it's one particular player. I think it's an assortment of things, and you know, all I can tell you is that we come out every single game, we've played hard, and we've led in every game. So you got 9 games we've led in. We've got 9 games. How many of those games did we lead in the second half? Probably 7 of the 9. Okay, so I think. So, you know, from my standpoint, you have opportunity to win. If you can get into the third quarter, fourth quarter, you have an opportunity to win. That's when you got to start playing your best football in the fourth quarter, and I don't think we've played our best football in the fourth quarter. I think that's probably a guarantee that that hasn't happened. You know, so, you know, with that being said, you just keep coaching.
So what more can you do? Again, all you can do is just keep coaching. And I'm curious as to how Mark D'Antonio is not allowing this 2-7 record to just consume him. Because at a certain point, it has to, right? I mean, Mark talked about how, you know, he's a man who prepares day in and day out leading up to a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night game. I mean, he is watching film. He's talking to his players. He's talking to his coaching staff. I mean, he's anal about it. And when you are trying to do everything you can do and doing it to the best of your ability and you're not seeing results, that can drive you insane. It really can. And I think that a lot of Spartan fans out there, heck, a lot of sports fans out there in general, don't realize that everything is not going to be great every single year. You're going to go through rough times. Could we have expected or predicted a 7-game losing streak? No, nobody could have. I mean, Mark D'Antonio didn't see that coming. I mean, or else he wouldn't have came out and said that, you know what? We want to go back-to-back. We want to win a Big Ten championship. We want to go back to the college football playoff. Okay, he wouldn't have made that statement before even playing one college football game this year. The goals were high, as they should have been, for a team that performed the way they did last year. So he dispelled that notion very early in the presser as well. Here he is again.
I do not think that our goals should have been less than they are. I just don't. You can't. You can't go to a college football playoff and win the Big Ten the last 2 out of 3 years and sit there and say, gee, guys, I hope we go 7-5. You can't do that. The only goal to go for was to win this thing back-to-back. That was the only goal. Because anything less than that was not going to be acceptable. Not to our players, not to our fans, not to me. So along the way, we lost some players. Along the way, in and out. Some in, some out for good, some in. You know, Sean Harrington's coming off an Achilles. Sean Harrington would be playing for us right now at linebacker. He'd be playing a defensive end or linebacker someplace. Guy's an active football player, but he's not. You get in those type of situations, you deal with them. You know, you deal with them one week at a time, really. That's where we're at right now. It's okay, get ourselves ready to play, make sure we're mentally right, make sure we know what they're doing, make sure we know what we're doing, simplify so we can play fast, play fundamentally sound, and get ready to win a football game. And that's all I can do. And then when I look for my do-over list, then I'll go back and I'll look to see what was my to-do list on those particular days to say, well, we shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have done that. But I'm not looking back to August right now and saying we should have ran, you know, we should have done this, that, or the other. I mean, we do 2-minute drills the very first day of summer camp. We emphasize 2-minute drills the very first day, and we do them every single day. But, you know, we do them on offense and defense.
Again, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, addressing the media this morning at Spartan Stadium in the North End Zone. Right now, I want to invite a man to the show who was present along with myself this morning at that press conference, our Tuesday production assistant, Luke Robbins. Luke, first off, how you doing, my man?
Doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic. You were at the press conference with just a few takeaways from what Coach D had to say concerning the state of his team right now. What did you take away from today's presser?
I think the most surprising thing was the fact that he held and he admitted those in-house meetings. You know, when you lose 7 games in a row, You start off the season 2-0 in a big win against Notre Dame, and now you've lost seven games in a row. Something's up. Something's wrong. And it's surprising to me that the team has come to a point where that needs to happen. And just trying to figure out whatever little thing it really is, because and I don't think it is just one little thing. There's just so much stuff going on with this team, and you need to find out every little thing that's going wrong.
And I've made the statement how it's a combination of different areas here. I mean, there's a lot of injuries on this team. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of young pups coming in and trying to fill different roles. But, you know, sitting back and thinking about it, I also think that it's a leadership problem as well. Mm-hmm. It would be hard for me to sit here and evaluate this season and not say that based on a seven-game losing streak. I mean, you would have that thought certainly, heck, it crossed my mind when they were on a four-game losing streak or three-game mm-hmm. losing streak, let alone a seven-game losing streak, right? And it's tough because Riley Bulla, who I believe is the leader of this team, not just the defense. I mean, in comparison to Demetrius Cox and Tyler O'Connor, Riley Bulla is the heartbeat of this Michigan State football team. And when we saw him get injured, and that injury stems back to when everything was lollipops and rainbows when they beat Notre Dame on the mm-hmm. road, right? When Riley got injured and we didn't see him for some weeks after that Notre Dame game, I mean, again, we're just throwing stuff at the wall right now and seeing if it sticks, but I do think that may have done something to the overall psyche of this team. When you don't have a presence, a big emotional presence, a leader in Riley Bulla on the football field, I do think that had some sort of impact to this team moving forward. Now, does it justify this team's, you know, falling off the map and now having a 2-7 record at this point in the year? No. You don't blame that on one man. This is a combination of things. But I do think that Riley Bulla not being able to play and not being healthy throughout much of this year has hurt this team from more so an emotional standpoint, more so than X's and O's. Demetrius Cox, you know, we didn't see him. You know, there was an article that I read this past weekend, Isaac, that talked about Demetrius not even suiting up for the second half mm-hmm. of that game. And, you know, you look at Tyler O'Connor. It's hard to be a leader when you're not playing.
Yeah.
Simple mm-hmm. as that. You know, Tyler O'Connor, we've seen his ups and downs. He's been pulled out of games, and Damian Terry and Brian Lewerke, that's opened up the door for those two respective players to come in and show what they can do. But when you have three of your leaders, you know, who've been in and out play after play, I think that gives you kind of a peek into the window of why this team has not been up to the level that we expected them to be. I'm not saying that you blame it on those three. I'm just saying that does a lot, and it does hurt you.
No, and you're exactly right. Another place to key into is the offensive line as well.
Certainly.
When Cody Keeler has to shift over from right to left to center. Brian Allen, very similar in his responsibilities. These guys, they can't establish a rapport with the guys who are right around them to know when to double-team block, when to cut block, when to do any of these different techniques, zone blocking, man blocking, all of those which are so important. I've always said the five most important players on the football field are the offensive linemen. Always, every single time that holds true. So when you can't have some level of consistency there, that's going to really hinder your chances as well. But I think you're exactly right. These senior leaders who have been in and out, the freshmen don't necessarily know where to turn. Then you've got a bunch of guys, too, who are being thrust into positions that they're unsure of. Not to say that Justin Lane doesn't have a lot of talent or Donnie Corley doesn't have a lot of talent at the cornerback position. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be a little bit uncertain. Your teammates are going to be a little bit uncertain of you. They're going to be hesitant to say, okay, I'm going to leave him all alone. They might shade that side just a little bit more. There's all sorts of things that this team has had to just make do with. And make do is not good enough in the Big Ten, let alone not good enough to try to go back-to-back.
And, I talked about how it's a combination of things. Not only is it just, you know, lack of leadership playing on the field, not only is it youth, not only is it all of those combination of things, but also, you mean, you'd have to be remiss not to call out the coaching staff as well, okay? That also adds to it. There's been some questionable calls. There's mm-hmm. been some questionable play calling throughout the course of a game. So it's all-inclusive, as you heard Coach D'Antonio say. And you mentioned the offensive line, Isaac. I mean, you know, you look at sacks, And this is what Coach D'Antoni, you probably remember this whole spiel as well during mm-hmm. this morning's presser, Luke. He mentioned sacks. He mentioned turnover margin. He mentioned lack of red zone efficiency. He mentioned the run game being what he called, quote unquote, okay at times, but not consistent. He mentioned how you got to protect the quarterback. So he called out the offensive line as well and how at times it's been okay, but not where they want it. And he also even talking about the offensive line even further here. He went into depth and said he threw out this stat when looking at the Illinois game this past weekend. Michigan State's quarterback, whether it was Damian Terry, when Tyler O'Connor went out, or if it was Tyler O'Connor, Michigan State's quarterbacks, plural, quarterbacks, 22 times they had to throw off of the dime. Now, what off of the dime means is when you step back, you have to move to your left or right and throw down the field, okay? So not just stepping back in just one straight line, looking and throwing. 22 times Michigan State's quarterback, whether it was Damian Terry or Tyler O'Connor, they had to get shifty in the pocket, if you will, and throw the football downfield due to pressure. You want to know how many times Illinois' quarterback had to do that? Just 3 times. The entire game. So that was one of the big takeaways that Mark D'Antonio, wanted to address to all of us media members out there, now that he's had a chance to go back and look at the film of that Illinois loss. But, I mean, that speaks volumes. I mean, when you're a quarterback and you're constantly having to deal with pressure and having to get off that dime to throw the football, I mean, that's a tall task. They got to protect the quarterback more. And going back to the psyche of Coach Mark D'Antonio really briefly here, fellas, I thought this was a very glaring quote from the presser as well. And just addressing how Mark is sort of dealing with the pressure of losing 7 straight games. Here he is.
Shocking. I live it. Like I told my players, I live it. You guys will go and write another sports story for somebody else or something. I live this. I work 90 hours a week at this. Okay, our players are young people. They're resilient. Okay, but they're living it too. Okay, our coaches, this is what they do for a living. They live it. So, yeah, it's you scratch your head a little bit how this could happen, how that can happen. You look at some of the things that have happened from a personnel standpoint. You got to remember, we're playing with 3 fresh, true freshman defensive linemen. You ask yourself, the 3 guys who just left and are playing in the NFL on the defensive line, Joe Heath, LT, although he's out right now, and Shalik, where were they at as true freshmen? They were not near ready to play at this level. But we're playing with those guys. So those guys are getting better, and they'll be good players, but they're young players. Raekwon Williams, young player, freshman. So it just sort of is what it is.
I live this. I work 90 hours a week. Glaring stuff. Mark D'Antonio is doing all that he can. And I think at some point, I mean, you look at it and say, okay. And I just hope Mark D'Antonio is not going home and losing his mind. I mean, I can only imagine. How do you get away? I mean, what kind of escape do you have to get away from constantly thinking about this, right?
Well,
you know?
What I was going to say is, since it's election season, let's draw a parallel here, because Mark D'Antonio really is the president of the football team,
well,
if you will.
And yeah,
he's got his whole staff. He's got to protect them. That's his cabinet. But at the same time, all the stress falls on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the figurehead. Most Michigan State fans, I guarantee you, do not know who Dave Warner is. They don't know any of the assistant coaches. They don't know any of the things that go into the actual game. They don't know any other person to put blame on. It all falls on D'Antonio. I would be surprised if there aren't a few more gray hairs on his head by the end of the season.
Well, I think I've already seen 4 or 5, Luke.
Yeah, really.
And, this is a 2-7 football team right now, 0-6 in the Big Ten. I thought it was very interesting in that last bite before we hit our first break here. Coach D'Antonio brought up the turnover from last season, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this team, and that's a big reason why this Michigan State football team hasn't been where we thought they were going to be, is because, they've lost so many pieces. Darian Harris, talk about a leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the leaders now gone for this team. He brought up guys like Joel Heath, Lawrence Thomas, Shalique Calhoun, guys who man that line and who were leaders on the line and very efficient at what they did. They're gone and enjoying life in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. I got a question for both of you guys before we hit this first break. Do you think this current MSU football roster has an NFL first-round pick or NFL pick, period? Luke?
I do. I think Malik McDowell is still an NFL pick.
Do you think he's a first-round? Because Malik, if Malik would have left last year, I think he would have gone first round. I think he's hurt his draft stock this year.
I think he has too. You know, 2-7, you know, from a first round pick, he probably doesn't happen often.
Okay.
You know what
so
I mean?
So you think Malik McDowell is still going to be, is he a first rounder?
I don't think he's a first rounder anymore just because he doesn't get to do what he does. You know, he's the focus on the defense. They try and shut him down as much as they possibly can, and he has no help. So what does he do? You know, I think that has hurt his draft stock.
Isaac?
I think it's hurt his draft stock. I definitely would rephrase it because I'm not sure who said, but somebody said he hurt his draft stock this year. I'm not sure if it's him. I'm pretty sure that's everybody around Malik McDowell, just not having the other threats coming in and bombarding the quarterback.
I think it's a combination.
It is a combination.
Because I've seen at times where Malik McDowell could have made a play here or there, but just didn't come off the line as hard as he could have.
The thing for me, you talk about lack of leadership. Malik McDowell, I'm not saying he's not a leader on this team. I'm saying he needs somebody else to motivate him. Mm-hmm. He always had that, whether it was Joel Heath last year or Shalique Calhoun or Darian Harris coming in. This year he doesn't have that. He has to do it all by himself, and he has struggled in that role. So I think his draft stock falls significantly. I think he was a 6-8 pick going into this year. I think he's more 20-25 right now. So I think still first round pick, but he's the only one, in my opinion, who could be drafted in the top 3 rounds. That's simple.
Right.
And that speaks volumes about where this program is
going. I will throw in R.J. Shelton's name as well. I like R.J. He's a bit undersized.
That's the thing.
He's a short receiver. They may even change his position around. Who knows when he gets to the NFL. But I think he's a very athletic player and can do a lot of great things once he has the football in his hands. So, all right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk Michigan football with Adam Biggers. He is a Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for Today's U Sports. We'll dive into the maize and blue when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. If you want to call in and get anything off of your sports noggin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to do so. We're taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. You have less than 30 minutes left. And right now, we're actually, while you guys are blowing up our phone lines, we're going to get to our guest for today's show. He is a dear friend of the show. His name is Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for Today's U Sports. Adam, what's up, my friend?
Hey, Al, thanks for having me, man. Another week of watching and hearing Michigan talk about preparing for a championship game. So it's been the same thing for the past two plus months, and it's starting to rev up a little bit.
I can only imagine now, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe U of M canceled media availability yesterday due to, of course, Barack Obama in town in Ann Arbor. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there wasn't any official word saying that was
the reason. Right.
But I mean, I think if you tie two and two together, I did talk to a Michigan spokesman Saturday after the Maryland game. And he had mentioned that it could be a possibility just because there's going to be a lot going on in the area and, a lot of congestion and things like that. So we were aware that it could be at 5:40, but they did at the, some point, I think it was like late morning, send out an email saying that it saying that it was canceled. But Harbaugh still did his Pizza House show, so he got that in.
Will Harbaugh be talking to you guys at all today, tomorrow, anytime this week?
I got him on a conference call earlier, and little under the weather, if you can't tell. So I kind of fluffed my question a little bit, but I was asking him about the versatility. If you look at some of these guys, Jawan Bushel-Beatty especially, an offensive lineman who's played, he's lined up at four different positions this year as an offensive lineman. He's lined up as a tight end. And you look at true freshman Devin Asiasi, he's going to be a very good player too. So, I asked Jim about that. Someone asked if he encourages players to vote, which he affirmed with a strong yes. That was about it. Other than that, we won't get him until Monday press conference or those in Iowa Saturday postgame.
It's been such a remarkable year, quite the contrast season to what we've been seeing here in East Lansing, but a great year for the Maize and Blue. And, of course, the second college football playoff rankings will be announced later on tonight on national TV. I'm pretty sure it's a safe bet that Michigan will be in the top four yet again. For right now, Adam, and you kind of alluded to it, just a moment ago, how loud is the national championship talk amongst the players in the locker room? Has that been addressed at all?
I'm sure that they talk about it. I'll say this, Al, that these guys are very focused, extremely disciplined. I mentioned this yesterday when I was talking to someone. Jake Butt mentioned Saturday after that 59-3 win over Maryland that they know what's at stake. And it's Wilton Spate has, been quoted as saying, and I think it was on the Michigan football Facebook page, it's something along the lines of they know that it's win or go home. They have a very calm confidence. It's not a team that gets rah-rah, at least in front of us. I don't know what happens, during team meetings and stuff. They might be, high-fiving and, walking around with big smiles on their face. Who knows? But I'm sure a little bit of that. But they are very focused. They're a disciplined team, and they're like a machine, And Jim Harbaugh pushes a button, and these guys just go out and run the program, whatever, it's a computer. Jim Harbaugh presses a button and, the program runs, bam, success, and everything that's gone into it. So it's I have to believe, Al, that these guys definitely know that they're a national title contender. I think that they'll probably be ranked number two when the rankings come out tonight. And I think anybody who follows or covers or is around the program at all just can tell there is a general feeling of high confidence, but it's a calm confidence. It's kind of like a calm before the storm, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and speaking of number two, Adam, Michigan regained its number two ranking in this week's AP College Football Poll, which was released, of course, on Sunday. The top six remained unchanged. Numero uno, Alabama, two Michigan, three Clemson, four Washington, five Louisville, six Ohio State. However, in the Amway coaches poll, Clemson actually jumped over Michigan, claiming the number two spot that the Wolverines owned last week. Was that surprising to you?
It was. I guess I kind of subscribe to the idea. As the season goes on, it gets more important, yes. But, right now, at the end of the day, I think the only poll that really matters is the college football poll, especially if you're a contender, if you're a legitimate contender like Michigan. So, they say that they don't watch the polls and stuff like that, but they have phones, they have computers, they hear things that, I'm sure. So they've at least caught a glimpse. They know their position, but at the same time, it's kind of like that mentality of putting blinders on and just going, racing toward the goal. They've said all those type of things throughout the entire season. And they even joke about giving us the same answers all the time because it really doesn't change. Clemson over a bit. Clemson's a very good team, I guess I'm not shocked. And when I look at the coaches poll, I put a little bit more stock, I guess, when it comes to me, because you're getting the opinion of the coaches. And I feel like, the coaches probably know the game a little bit better than the rest of us.
Yeah, and I was trying to search for a reason as to why they would put Clemson over Michigan. But, Clemson, You know, they thumped Syracuse 54-0, but, you know, Michigan didn't lack when it came to style points in comparison to that game. I mean, a 59-3 thumping over Maryland. So, but again, when you talk about 2-3 at this point in the year, you're really grasping at straws. As long as you're among that number in the four, hey, as long as you make the dance, anything can happen. Now, I want to go to a quote from Coach Harbaugh in relation to his quarterback, Wilton Spates, who, and I think you would agree with this, Adam, he has gotten better Saturday after Saturday. Harbaugh added this, quote, "He superseded the hopes. He's gone past what we were hoping he'd be in a big way. He's been outstanding, outstanding. I'd be lying if I said he hasn't done more than what we hoped he'd be this season." In what way, Adam, has Coach Harbaugh improved the game of Wilton Spate throughout the year?
Well, you know, Al, you kind of said it along the – I remember hearing him say something along those lines. You said it kind of with the same enthusiasm as him.
you like
you
that?
Know, if you look back, they had that little bump in the road during that HBO special, but Harbaugh grabbed him and yelled at him and told him if he didn't like what was going on, he could transfer. Mm-hmm. I think Wilton got a real shock there. I think Wilton is the kind of guy who really likes that type of coaching. I mean, I feel like Wilton Spate is the type of quarterback who responds the best. And I don't want to say that Harbaugh is, like, you know, harsh or critical, but you know what I mean? When there's a strong focus when it comes to Jim Harbaugh in the quarterback position, and there are high expectations. And for him to say that Wilton has exceeded those expectations, I knew that Wilton Spate was going to be a good quarterback. I mean, now we're talking about him. Is he the best quarterback in the Big Ten? I mean, he's got to be top 2-3 easily right now. And I mean, and imagine what could happen for him next year. You know, he's only thrown 3 interceptions. He's got great feet. He could throw every type of ball that you need. Wilton Spate, he's a leader. He's confident. He's got everything that they want in a quarterback. And I thought that last year that Jake Rudock exemplified everything that, and especially being that bridge type of quarterback, that he exemplified everything that Harbaugh wanted. So it's high praise. Jake Rudock did a phenomenal job this year. And in no way, I don't think that anyone's discrediting Rudock or anything, but I mean, Wilton has really just been an extension of Jim Harbaugh, and I think that that's pretty clear with his play. I think it's clear with his attitude, and you know, it's very clear with Harbaugh's comments.
Yeah, crystal clear to say the least, Adam. And to go back what you said, you know, in at the very beginning of that answer, there was an HBO special where Harbaugh grabbed Wilton Spate. I didn't see that.
Yeah. It was, I forgot exactly what it was, but it was an HBO special. You know, if you Google it, you can find it. Mm-hmm. I wrote about it. Wilton, I believe we have a video on the FanRec Sports YouTube page. So subtle plug there.
He grabbed
Wilton by the collar, yelling at him. And, you know, I don't know the exact, word for word exchange, but Wilton has since joked about this and said that this was a key moment for him. And basically Harbaugh told him, you know, if you don't like what's going on or, you know, whatever, you have the option to transfer.
Wow. Did you see that? I haven't seen that clip.
I haven't seen that either.
I'm intrigued now. Yeah. I'm gonna have to visit the website and check that out, Adam. Wow. Well,
yeah,
I'm not surprised.
You want to talk about lighting a fire under a guy. I don't know if there's any other way better that you could do that if you're Jim Harbaugh and your quarterback. You pretty much lay it on the line, and he did.
That is so true, and that's Jim Harbaugh for you. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for Today's U Sports. Now, just to play devil's advocate here for a second, Adam. Now, again, a great year for U of M. They're undefeated, 9-0 overall, 6-0 in conference. They haven't lost a home game, of course, and there are those out there that will look at this U of M schedule and say, well, where exactly have they really been tested? You know, we go to how they started the year. They played 5 straight home games, and they go on the road to play Rutgers, and they come right back at home to play Illinois for homecoming. I want to ask you, when you hear that chatter surrounded around this team, is it fair, number one? And number two, in what ways have you seen this Michigan team tested this season?
Well, I mean, I think they were tested against Colorado. I mean, frankly, I thought that was the Buffaloes had Michigan on their heels. You know, Cepho and I'm going to butcher his last name, Lifo, I believe is how you pronounce it, Leifu. He was incredible. You know, he got an ankle injury in the third quarter, and Michigan just kind of poured it on. But the Buffaloes were in firm control of that game. I remember the Michigan Stadium just being silent, and I'm talking silent. It was packed. There were 111,000 people in that place, and you could hear yourself breathe. I mean, it was that quiet. But you're right. I mean, they really haven't been challenged. I mean, if we look back at Penn State, I mean, is Penn State better than what it was when Michigan beat it 49-10? Yeah. I mean, Penn State, you know, pulled off one of those kind of, I don't want to call it a lucky win, but, you know, blocked field goal against Ohio State. They executed or whatever at the last minute when they needed it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is Penn State a better team? I mean, if you look back at it, but, I mean, I don't think there's any question that the Wolverines didn't have the toughest schedule, you know, heading into the season. You know, you look at a road game at Michigan State, which a lot of people, I mean, it was a tough one. Michigan State did play its best game of the year, but, you know, Ohio State is going to be the real challenge. I mean, is Iowa going to be a threat? You know, my opinions have changed a little bit on Iowa, but I mean, I think Wisconsin challenged them. But I mean, there have been teams that play tougher schedules, but I think that in certain ways, the Wolverines have been challenged. It's just kind of difficult to see when they're scoring, you know, 48 points per game and has given up 11 touchdowns all year. So I see your point on that end as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I think this is going to play out, and I think you probably will agree on this, Adam. I think we will see Michigan approach that Ohio State game, which is on the road at the Shoe. I think Michigan, is safe to say, will be undefeated. Now, again, who knows? Sports is a crazy thing. But logically speaking here, I think it's safe to say that U of M will most likely be undefeated in that game. How do you foresee that matchup between the Buckeyes and the Wolverines, clearly the two best teams in the Big Ten East this season?
I mean, I think the way that both teams have played, and if you watch the way that, and not only a win over a top 10 ranked team, but just manhandling Nebraska. Ohio State looked pretty impressive this past Saturday. I think we're on a collision course, Al. Two very good teams. Michigan should go in there undefeated. And, you know, they talk about the mentality of it being a championship game every week. I mean, this is going to be a national championship. This is going to be Super Bowl mentality. You know, I mean, they are going to be up for this game. Wolverines have given up 42 points during the past three losses to Ohio State. And even last year, you know, we saw a good Michigan team get pretty much, you know, just kicked to the curb or however you want to say it. They got handled pretty well. So I'm anticipating the Big Ten game of the year. I don't want to overbill it or hype it, but I, you know, going to Columbus, I do think that this is going to be one of those games that we talk about for a long time. And this year, Michigan is clearly better in all facets of the game than it was this past season in 2015. And Ohio State is good as usual. And I think that it's going to be, you know, a heavyweight bout. I think, I don't know if we're going to see another 2006 game, but I mean, it might be something along those lines. I mean, you never know. Michigan has its most potent offense that I can even remember in recent memory. So, I mean, this is going to be a game that everybody wants to watch finally. You know, it's going to be the game again.
Yes, I think we are all looking forward to November 26th, to say the least, Adam. Now, I just want to throw this question out at you before we hit the second break here, Adam, and get you out of here. In the Big Ten West, things are quite interesting because you have Minnesota, which has had an overall record of 7-2, 4-2 in conference. You have Wisconsin with the same record, and Nebraska with the same record. Who do you think wins out in the Big Ten West?
You know, it's hard to say right now, Al, without looking at all their schedules. But I've been impressed with Wisconsin. I was really impressed with the way Wisconsin. And mind you, let's look at how Wisconsin having to play Michigan State on the road, and then, you know, going to Ann Arbor with a first time starter in Alex Hornibrook. I thought that was a 14-7 win for the Wolverines. You know, Wisconsin played very well in that game. There's just something about Wisconsin that I like. I mean, you look at the Badgers as a steady program. I mean, if, you know, just going back to Pat's, you know, 15, 20 years. I mean, Wisconsin football has been very stable, and I enjoy watching Wisconsin play. I think, like I said, I'd have to look at the schedules, you know, and see who's playing who. But, I mean, if I just have to pick a horse in the race right now, I like Wisconsin.
I'm with you. I like Wisconsin a lot, and, you know, it's going to be a very intriguing matchup this weekend because Minnesota will actually take on Nebraska. So that will, you know, we'll have some separation there. And then 2 weeks from that, you'll see Minnesota actually take on Wisconsin to end the year. So we'll see how it all pans out. College football is a crazy, crazy game. Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for today's U Sports. Adam, thanks so much for coming on, my man. You were fantastic.
Anytime, Al. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
You got it. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's Election Day current sports by chatting a bit about the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings. What is going wrong for both of these teams? Now the Pistons again, first loss in a while, but still, you get the drift, right? We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKER's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with today's U, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer, Adam Biggers. If you happen to miss that chat or if you happen to miss any episode of Current Sports Radio, you guys know that we post the podcast on our website each and every day, all right? Just simply go to WKAR.org, go to the Current Sports page, and voila, you can catch any episode that you might have missed in the past. All right, really briefly here, before we briefly dive into the Red Wings and Detroit Pistons here, we have engineer Isaac Constance as well as Current Sports PA Luke Robbins on the air with us all. We just finished up a chat with Adam Biggers of Today's U, the second version of the college football playoff rankings, which, again, these rankings mean nothing. Really, the one that matters is the final one on December 4th, but the second one comes out tonight, all right? I'm curious to know, who do you guys think makes the top four? Because we saw a surprise, you know, team in the top four last week in Texas A&M, and we saw how that played out,
yeah,
right?
That's so stupid.
Yeah, ridiculous, right? So I'll start with you, Isaac. Who do you think are going to be the top four teams when it's all said and done on national TV today?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. It'll stay like it is in the AP Top 25 and how it should be, which is number one, Alabama. Impressive win over LSU. They really contained the Tigers pretty well. All credit to them, especially on the defensive end. Then Michigan, they haven't stepped a foot out of line this season. Clemson, I think, gets number three, although, like I said, I don't think they necessarily deserve that spot with how they've played this year. But, hey, defending ACC champs, it's hard to take them out of that ranking. And then Washington at number four, another good win against Cal Berkeley. But I gotta say, Al, you and Adam were having some decent chatter about the Colorado Buffaloes, I believe, who at the start of the season, I said, that was a good win. You adamantly disagreed. You know where they are in the rankings right now, right?
Where do they sit now?
Number 16, 7-2. They're a good team.
Yeah, but still, I mean, Colorado, when I tell you what, Michigan put that game on the schedule, they weren't saying, oh man, this is going to be a great quality win. Come on now.
That's not what I was saying. But
it's just the logic.
They were a good team.
Okay, yeah, they panned out. We've seen many teams pan out this year and you know, have great years. I mean, heck, you know, Adam brought up Penn State. Penn State has panned out to be a pretty solid program over time, right?
Correct.
But when Michigan made the schedule, they said, this should be an easy win.
Yes,
come on
definitely.
Now, dude.
No, they made it to be easy. I'm just saying
that
win did verify their authenticity at the start of the season.
I hear. I also want to pass along this news. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Clemson coach Dabo Sweeney also announced that quarterback Deshaun Watson and running back Wayne Gallman and two others will be headed to the NFL after this season. So that news broke today, and I'm just seeing this on my phone as well. Speaking of Texas A&M QB Trevor Knight, shoulder injury, he is out for the remainder of the regular season. So, my oh my, what a difference a week makes for the Aggies. Luke, top four. Who do you think is the top four teams when it's all said and done on national TV tonight?
I got the same as Isaac. I have Alabama 1, Michigan 2, Clemson 3, and Washington 4. I think Washington deserved the 4 spot before. I think, honestly, they put A&M there to create some controversy, and we've seen what happened to A&M, and Washington went out and won.
I'm going to go top 10 real quick. I made an elongated list here, so I disagree with you guys.
Let's hear it, yeah.
Just in one aspect. Alabama number 1. That's a no-brainer. Clemson at number 2. I think that when you look at the coaches' poll, that kind of gives you a glimpse. Like Adam said, that's how I think too. When I look, I really, you know, everybody goes crazy over the AP poll, but that coaches' poll gives you an insight into what the coaches are thinking. So I kind of hold it a little. I hold a little bit more weight when I'm winning 2 polls in that regard. Don't get me wrong, sports writers. Yeah, there's a lot of educated guys out there.
I know what you're saying.
I love the coaches' poll though. I'm going Clemson 2, Michigan 3, of course 4, Washington. And this is how my 5 through 10 looks. Ohio State, 6, Louisville, 7, Wisconsin, 8, Auburn, 9, I think Penn State sneaks into the top 10 there. And at 10, I'm going Texas A&M, all right? You know, their fall from what the committee looked at as a number 4 team. I think they dropped down to 10 tonight. So that's how my list looks.
See, what I would do too is I would actually sneak Louisville above Ohio State. I guess I'm just adhering entirely to the AP poll, but I do like Louisville's loss a little bit more than I like OSU's. I like Penn State. I just don't like them that much just yet. And I do really like Clemson. Other thing is, yeah, I can get where the coaches might have the better perspective being on the field, all of that, whatever. At the same time, like D'Antonio said, and he's no anomaly as a coach, he puts in 90 hours a week or whatever with his team. Yes, he's scouting other teams that he might potentially be playing, but he's not necessarily going home on a Friday night and said, well, let me watch some LSU tape. Just
well,
in
no.
Case.
You know, these coaches, I believe, for the panel are former coaches, I believe.
Oh, really?
Okay. I believe. We can double check that.
Yeah.
But when looking at, you know, the overall poll, I'm not sure if these are active coaches in there because that would create some bias,
gotcha.
Clearly, I think.
Yeah.
So am I right with that, Luke?
I would think so.
I'm not sure. We can double check on that and get to that on tomorrow's show. Really briefly, Pistons and Red Wings. The Pistons just were, I don't know if I want to talk about it. You know, we only got 90 seconds left here. But
No. You brought up the Pelicans with 30 seconds left.
Do you really
want
to go there,
before?
Isaac? Did you see what happened to the New Orleans?
Of course
Steph
I saw
Steph Curry
it.
Set a three-point
13.
Record.
Congrats to him.
0-7. So yeah. let's not even go there with that. But
your Detroit Pistons got destroyed by more than my New Orleans Pelicans to the LA Clippers instead of the New Orleans.
And this is what I say about the Pistons, Isaac. They have games where mentally they check out. Where it's just like, you know, they're on a road trip now. They're on this 4-game road trip. They had a great outing to start the season, but you give them 2 or 3 days and they forget what they did the days prior to.
Yep.
And it's just a mental thing. It's a leadership thing, and it's infectious. And that needs to be nipped in the bud. And I think Stan Van Gundy knows it's a problem. Also, when it comes to the Wings, a quick point here: the Wings will be putting Jimmy Howard in goal. The Wings are trying to stop the bleeding at 5 games, and you know, we have this interesting goaltender battle like we've seen in the past between Peter Mrazek and Jimmy Howard. Howard was by far the best goaltender in that 2-1 loss to Edmonton the other day. So right now you got to ride the hot hand, but we could see some controversy for Hockey Town. All right, less than 15 seconds left, and we have to say goodbye, folks. Again, get out and vote. Happy Election Day. You have been tuned to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.